Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Now, for those of you who are longtime listeners, I hope you're enjoying the new intro we created for you. And just as a reminder, in addition to listening to the Payments Journal podcast on paymentsjournal.com, you can also listen to the podcast via iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the gig economy. And to help me with that conversation, I have Sarah Grotta, who is the director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisory Group, and Mark Vipon, who is the VP of Solution Management at NCR. Now, starting off our conversation today, Sarah is going to be providing us with some insights on the size and scope of the gig economy and how different types of workers are identified. Now, it should be a surprise to nobody that the gig economy is growing, providing a great opportunity for financial institutions who want to reach this market segment. And before we wrap up today's conversation, Mark is going to be providing us with what types of services those gig workers are looking for and who are the best targets within this market segment for financial institutions. So there's certainly a lot to unpack during this episode, so without any further delay, let's start the show. All right, so thank you, Sarah and Mark, for joining me on today's episode. So to kick things off, Mercator Advisory Group has provided us with two charts here. And if you're following along on paymentsjournal.com, you'll be able to see these figures in the article below. So Sarah, if perhaps maybe you could kind of explain these charts to our audience as they relate to the gig economy and gig workers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ryan. So the first chart that we have here talks about the size of the gig economy. And I think, you know, that's pretty important because we certainly see a lot of activity and a lot of conversation taking place in the marketplace about the gig economy. So it's probably pretty important to understand really what the size is. The interesting thing is that the size really depends upon the definition that you have. And so I think that's really why we're seeing some variations in really what the size of the gig economy is in the U.S. But what we've provided on this first slide is some of the most predominant reports in the industry that do try and sort of corral the sizing of the gig economy. So let me walk through these real quickly. The first one we look at is the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it's a really good report because they have a lot of history, right? They're pulling a lot of their data from census reports that go back many, many years. And so it's always nice to have that trending data. But what's interesting about the Bureau of Labor Statistics report is it doesn't include in their numbers of the gig economy workers, those workers who are actually doing their gig side hustle, if you will, as a secondary job. So this is report is really focused on those workers whose primary source of earnings originates from a gig job. So it's a little bit more narrow view of the gig economy, but even with that narrow view, they're still counting 26 million individuals. We see the Gallup poll, which takes a look at non-traditional work activities. That's sort of their definition of the gig economy. And this is a little bit broader, and it's looking at 56 million individuals. And that's really similar to the report that we see from Upwork and Freelancers Union. They're also in the 57 million range. And then McKinsey also did a report on the gig economy that pegs it at 42 million. So I guess by any measure, we can say that in the U.S., the gig economy is really quite large. And I think I'm hopeful that, you know, as we get more acclimated to gig work as a country, that we'll start to define this a little bit better. And I also think that we may be getting some better data coming out about gig wages, because the IRS has just implemented a new form, a new 1099 form that's specific to gig workers. So that might help to sharpen the pencils a little bit. The other slide that we have in here as well talks a little bit about sort of the segmentation of gig workers. And this kind of gets back a little bit to defining what a gig worker is. And I think it's interesting because if you're looking at serving this particular industry, you kind of need to think about what are the issues that you're trying to solve. And so what are the various segments within gig work? Because it's not all the same. We might think about, you know, the folks who are driving a rideshare car that, you know, they get their gigs off of, you know, a platform. And certainly that's a part of it. But there are many other aspects to that as well. So on this next chart that it came from the Freelancers Union work, they break it out into these categories, which is inclusive of what they call diversified workers, which are those who are just sort of cobbling together a variety of gig opportunities for their total earnings. We have independent contractors, which are more of your more traditional freelancers that don't really have a traditional employer but are freelancing on a temporary or supplemental basis. You also have moonlighters, who are those professionals who sort of have their day job as their primary source of income, but they're also creating income sort of after hours as well. And then we have a part of the freelance world that are also business owners. So, you know, you can think of individuals like consultants who are running their own business, but they're freelancing as a single owner business owner. And then there are temp workers as well, you know, who they may work with a single employer through a particular job, and then we'll go back to that temp agency when that job is done for their next job. So it's an interesting way of taking a look at the gig space.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that overview there, Sarah. So now with all of that in mind, now Mark, obviously when I think of NCR, I think it's really kind of, you know, best known for its ATM and merchant point of sale devices that it has in the marketplace here. So I'm really curious to get from your standpoint, what's driving NCR's move to intersect with the gig economy?
Thanks. You know, a lot of people know NCR from ATMs, as you said, and from point of sale devices in the retail and the hospitality segment. NCR is about a $7 billion per year organization. But what many people don't know is that most of the, over half of the revenue comes from software and services, specifically serving the industries in the hospitality, retail, and where our focus is in this discussion is in the banking industry. So yeah, the company provides ATMs and software, but we provide a whole suite of other solutions in the area of payments, as in the area of digital banking. We serve over 600 financial institutions in the U.S. alone with a digital banking solutions, driving over 22 million users. And that's where the intersection point comes as it relates to the gig economy. We provide solutions to the financial institutions to help service the effectively gig economy, but I would put it at a macro level, really businesses, whether individuals are working a side gig or they have a part-time or one employee or five or 50, they are effectively businesses. And the financial institutions covet those people and their small businesses and need to provide the right services and solutions to service that both in a mobile and a digital world, as well as in branches. And NCR is very focused on providing those solutions to those banks and credit unions that service the gig economy.
Interesting. And now if I could follow up with that, maybe we can put a little bit of a finer point to that. So you're saying that you're working with all of these financial institutions, and obviously I'm assuming that they're coming to you and they're saying, hey, here's the pain points that some of these gig workers are facing. So what solutions is it in particular that you have to provide to them? So perhaps maybe you could give us a little bit more detail around some of those pain points, and here's how NCR is addressing some of those pain point issues to give those solutions to their financial providers.
Sure. If understanding the digital servicing of customers over time, over the last 20 years, they've really been segmented in terms of consumers, individuals and their individual financials, and then corporate cash management solutions for larger corporations who have a need for sophisticated services in terms of account reconciliation and capabilities that eclipse those of most small businesses. one of the biggest holes that has been in the marketplace for quite some time is financial institutions didn't really have a solution for digital access that is germane and oriented towards smaller businesses, where they need to focus on cash flow, maybe help with invoicing. The level of sophistication they need is above that which they need for their consumer accounts, but way below that for what they need for a big corporation. And it has been a noticeable hole. And as the gig economy has increased, the number of businesses, small businesses has increased. The financial institutions have seen that hole. They want to service that environment. So what we have been doing is investing in small business capabilities that bridge that gap. It's not just for your consumer, for your DDA or your checking account and your savings account for you and your family, but also has the capabilities for sophisticated money movement, specific for small businesses and using person-to-person payments and other capabilities beyond that, which a consumer typically needs potentially, but not as sophisticated as cash management. And so therefore, there's been we've made significant investment over the last 3 or 4 years to basically arm financial institutions to service those customers, the small business clients, which we're calling the gig economy, which is a big driver of the growth in that industry.
Wonderful. No, thank you so much for that. Now, in Sarah's opener there, you know, obviously she gave some great data and in a little bit kind of just a history. But as we know, the payments industry never sits still and it's constantly evolving here. So I'd love to get from your perspective of where is the gig economy headed and how does NCR plan to keep pace with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the macro views are the same. I mean, it is growing and virtually every financial institution we speak to, I won't say all of them, some of them are very focused on corporate banking and some are very focused on consumer retail banking. But a vast majority are trying to establish a position to better serve small businesses, the gig economy, because they see the same macro trends where more and more people are headed that way. The financial institutions understand and know the best way for individuals who are in this marketplace is to manage those accounts and the services distinctly from their personal accounts. And so they are investing heavily in this area. They're trying to figure out a way to be successful. And that's where we come in by providing them the software technology that allows them to offer a more competitive solution to attract small businesses and retain the deposits, retain the income, and also facilitate the money movement or payments associated with those activities and those businesses. So it's growing, and most financial institutions are recognize that and trying to figure out what's the best way for them to capture as much market share in serving those clients, because it not only relates to their business activity in the gig economy, but then that relationship can also then extend into their personal activity with their family in terms of their retail accounts.
Yeah, I'll pile on a little bit there and to talk a little bit about the sustainability of the gig economy. You know, I think after the Great Recession, you know, that's when we saw a lot of the gig economy start to really accelerate. And I think there was a thought at the time that, you know, once employment sort of returns back to quote unquote normal, you know, we'll start to see fewer people participate in gig jobs, but that simply hasn't been the case. And so I think that's one area that we can point to say that suggests that, you know, the way that we're working now with more and more of it becoming gig work is probably here to stay. And then the other thing I think that's pointing to that also is that, you know, certainly there are advantages to the organizations that are employing these gig workers too, right? They can, you know, they can hire gig workers as needed, which allows them to really right size their employee base to the business that they have in front of them. So two things I think that are favorable in suggesting that the gig economy is here to stay and is going to be growing.
Interesting. Now, Sarah, if I could follow up with you on that, you know, you had pointed out in terms of just employee sizing, but do you think that the inverse that might kind of be a double-edged sword here in the sense that, you know, with a gig economy, and I mean, particularly if we're kind of looking at like an Uber or Lyft type of situation here, is there potential, though, for that the organization that they look for these gig workers, but then they're just not available in a time that they particularly need them? So could you see that as a potential double-edged sword to this whole gig economy situation?
Yeah, I suppose that is something that could occur, particularly as, you know, we get closer and closer to full employment. But, you know, at the same time, I think at this stage, we haven't reached that point. So, although it's certainly a possibility, I don't think we're there yet. I think that just the flexibility that gig work, offers to workers and the advantages are really keeping a lot of individuals in that particular type of workforce.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, Mark, in your previous answer, you had brought up about, you know, financial institutions growing their market share. So let's say I'm a financial institution that I've decided, you know what, I want to start going after the gig economy market share here and start capturing more of it. What segments in particular should those financial institutions be looking at that you feel are currently being underserved?
I would say primarily those that have a full-time engagement with the gig economy and more than one or more employees is the, you know, that's the sweet spot. As those individuals and their respective businesses grow, that's where most financial institutions would see the biggest value, where they could potentially generate loans and other related activities to serve that marketplace. That's where the biggest financial benefit's going to come in serving those areas, as opposed to, you know, it's not as fruitful if you're just targeting individuals that are working part-time and or doing it on a freelance basis on a periodic or at night or whatever. Those aren't the sweet spots for the financial institutions to attract. They want people that are small businesses that are growing and therefore will require additional financial services as they go forward. Back to the NCR question. So as I said, NCR is best known for ATMs and point-of-sale hardware. That has changed. We are very focused on becoming a software and services company, and our assets in the software area are quite extensive, and we are leveraging those to help. Again, we serve financial institutions and helping them be successful in this marketplace, and believe this is one area that we have a differentiated capability to help them service those clients, both in a digital manner, but also physically. They're, you know, people still come into branches and use things like ATMs and such. So we provide the connected experiences across all those customer touch points, which are relevant for consumers, as well as small businesses and people participating in the gig economy.
Excellent. I'm really glad, Mark, that you brought up that point there about that individuals still use the physical financial institution branches, that the branches aren't dead as opposed to what some things are saying. And I certainly know that Mercator also has data to back that claim up as well, too. But thank you, Sarah and Mark, for taking the time today for speaking to me about the gig economy. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.